Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Tuesday, April 25th, 2017, and I am here on time. So I'm starting off this week pretty good. Feels good to be here on time. I can't believe yesterday was yesterday. But what I did was I set my alarm and made sure it was actually on right after the show. And I'm just doing that every day because lesson learned. That's all I can say. Lesson learned. So I hope you guys had a great Monday and a great start to the week. And yesterday we talked about excuses and how we can live in excuse mode for a pretty long time without even knowing we have excused our life day by day away from ourselves. And then it took me to another step of following our own advice. And I realized that with the excuses is coupled that we put our own advice on hold. Children or our friends that come to us, we always step up. We know what to say. We know what to do. But man, where is the disconnect between our knowledge and us doing what we do, what we believe in, what we have faith in, which should be, number one, ourselves. But yet putting ourselves off is the easiest thing to do. And there's like this whole thing where can you rely on yourself? Can you negotiate with yourself? Can you rejuvenate yourself to learn and grow? But why is it when we know better, default to these places that at times surprise us, even in ourselves? What's in us that knows what to do and we put it off and we tell others and the others do it and they improve? What does it take for us to listen to ourselves in the moments we need to? And why do we get in the way of listening to ourselves? So I threw that question at Christ because I remember distinctively when I first saw Christ and he would tell me things like, 1 ounce of pure love will overcome any obstacle provided that it's pure. And my question was, well, how do I know if what I'm doing is pure? And that question got answered in like 1,500 pages of text, which ended up becoming Origins of Truth. But the bigger thing was, I knew all of that, and still somehow I looked at it as Christ's information and not mine. Started working with people before I talked to anybody about it publicly. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, that sounds so great. I wish I learned how to do that. I wish I know what that means. I wish I know how to do it. But the bigger thing was me once I started telling people and them listening to it and saying, oh my God, especially people who understood Christ even better than I did because they've been taught Christ all their life. And I thought, wow, Christ really works. Like, this really works. Like, man, if you just draw from love, you can't go wrong. But sometimes I didn't even know how to identify love. So I didn't know how to take my own advice. I didn't know what pure intent meant in daily life. I just knew what it meant in the bigger picture, that you want you to know your intentions. And, of course, you want to have pure intent and all of that. But what did that look like at work? What did that look like with a boyfriend or my friend or my kid or my ex-husband? And how could I use that in my daily life? So the way I began to use it was by taking my own advice that I was telling people through Christ. The way he was teaching them, I grabbed every lesson I could. And I say, wow, well, if I need to just change the way I, because maybe I do this passive aggressive thing when I'm hurt, maybe when I'm hurt, I want to like get the person, but not in a outward way. I want to show them that I was right, or I want to prove, or I want to, like, you know, make myself better to prove somebody wrong, and all these silly things that I used to carry because I didn't know how else to have an argument, or to have a difference of opinion, or to have maybe a disagreement. One second, I got a cough in my throat just wanting to come out. Sorry, I don't know what's in there today. It's just tickling me. But, and Liam writes in the chat, lessons in objectivity. I have to say there's a lot to be said for that, because as time went on, Christ started teaching me not to take things personally. And that was the hardest one to take, because when we take things personally, we want to fight back. We want to prove. We want to show. And honestly, I just took everything personally. I didn't know how else not to take it. It came to me. But I didn't realize that people's behavior, something's in there. I don't know if this is like allergy season or what, but something's in my throat. But taking it personally, there was no way I couldn't. So I would try to say, okay, this person didn't mean it, and you know, I need to deal with this with more of an objective tone. But really, the idea of taking my own advice was forcing me to rise. And Christ would teach me things like, you know what? Anyone, that behavior is not special to you. You are just an audience. If you accept it, that behavior will be yours. If you don't accept it, then you just don't have that behavior in your life. But this person is this person, just like you. You are the same everywhere you go. Whoever experiences you will experience the same thing. Does it have to do with them completely? No, it has to do with you and how you view life. And then when he put it in terms of how people reacted to me, I realized totally my reaction. So learning not to take things personally taught me to take my own advice. Because I thought, wow, if this is advice for them, it's advice for me too. And look, they listened to it and they really tried, and look what happened. So I'd start saying, you know, okay, I'm going to approach this with love, even though I thought beforehand I was approaching it with love. But I was approaching it with love that was put together by whatever I became in my life, that had my opinion in it, my injuries in it, my little hidden angers in it, whatever that was. I realized that I grew up in a very strict environment where I had to be and free think all by my own. And then I had to do what everybody else wanted for them. So I felt like two people having two lives. And I learned to merge that life into one where I had nothing to hide. And then I had to trust that people would still love me if I didn't do what they wanted to do. And that one still is ongoing until today. Solution as a result of those feelings has been probably the biggest accomplishment of my life, because it gave me emotional freedom. So I asked Christ, Christ, why don't we take our own advice? What is it in us that stops us from knowing better when we need ourselves most? And he said, the fear of change, the being one way, the changing scares us, kind of like an excuse. An excuse is putting ourselves off, but not taking our own advice is a different facet of that. It's having enough trust in what we've spent our life and invested in knowing. And if we're not using that knowledge, then that knowledge isn't able to be used, which means our life doesn't go where we want it to go. And it starts with the fear of change. And then he said, on top of the change, people truly have a fear of success. They don't know. They don't know that success can make them better deep inside. They only know it on the outside. Well, when I'm successful. And then, you know, 10 years later, when I'm successful, when this works out, then another 10 years later, and there goes your life. But just knowing that success is when you're finally content and happy where you're at, everything else follows, changes it, because everyone can agree that they want to be happy. But we have been taught that success is way bigger than any dreams we could ever have, and we wait for this lightning bolt to strike our lives. But truly, it's just being happy. There's one thing I have learned throughout these 15 years of talking to people, working with people, is the ones with the most money have the hardest time being happy. Because they always thought that the money would make them happy. And when they get there, they find out that it's nice to have money. It's nice to have your bills paid. It's nice to have these things done. But it didn't make me any happier. Wow, what do I need to do to be happier? I thought this was it, because we were sold that thing, that paper that we gave all that energy to, was going to do it. People who are more well-known than others would tell me they thought being famous was going to make them happy. And for some, it made them flat-out miserable. Because now they couldn't even go to Target or go to a grocery store. They had other people do all that stuff for them. And now they didn't feel like them anymore. And that's why you see and hear all of these breakdowns. Because it is not natural to not be able to fend for yourself in our human nature. And sometimes we see that and inside we internalize it and say, you know what, that might look good on the outside, but I don't want that. What we really all want is to have enough to enjoy our life, because money is permission. It gives us permission to travel. It gives us permission to purchase. It gives us permission to live in a home and to pay for the things we want, because everything's been set up that it's set up more expensive than what we make, so it keeps us behind. But once we do that, once we can take care of those things, we're kind of exempt from the whole worry pool or fear of success pool or whatever, because that's when we feel happy. That's when we feel content, when we have enough to take care of ourselves, but not enough to not look forward to things, to not feel like, you know, oh my God, I can't do that, or look forward to it, or plan that trip, or plan doing things with our kids, our grandkids, ourselves. But we find out at the end of the day that, I see Liam wrote in the chat, money's important sometimes. I never valued money, but too much of that thinking is the other extreme too. We need money. And that's exactly what I'm saying. We need that balance. Too much is isolating. Too little is isolating. But that balance that keeps us close to our lives, to ourselves, to others, that sense of appreciation when we get something. That sense of doing things ourselves, working with our hands, shopping for ourselves, deciding what we want from life and what we don't, knowing what's more important and what isn't. We start to trust our own advice to ourselves. We start to trust our own voice to ourselves. We start being empowered that, hey, I can do this, I can do that. I have this ability. I have this skill. I can work on my relationships. I can work at work. And you start to feel that vital, that thriving feeling. I see Liam says, money can't buy you happiness, but happiness can buy money. And that's true. I have a family that I know very well. I've known them for over 10 years. And the father is a celebrity. and he's brought a lot of money to their family. They've always had nice homes, great schools, all of these things. Year of this man's life, his entire family, with the exception of him, are alcoholics. The wife's in rehab. The oldest daughter just got out of jail because she's been in rehab twice, and the judge said, you know what? I need to put you in jail to detox you because nothing's working. The son, the oldest son, just lost his job and is in lockdown. And the younger daughter isn't showing up at night because she's out drinking. And the poor man just got disinvested from his entire life. And now he's alone with the dog, sold their big house in a small apartment by himself, been completely disinvested from his family. He's out helping everyone, visiting everyone in different hospitals. Of the youngest one, trying to hang on to her. And I said, my God, how do you sleep at night? And he said to me, it's me and God and the dog. I know God's there. I know God's there. He is the epitome of someone who took his own advice. This is all still happening to him. And I can't imagine how strong and loving this person is to just say, I know God's there. They're doing it. I can only do so much. I always thought that if we had the money, we could take care of all of these things. But money doesn't take care of anything. It's us who needs to take care of the money that we have. To pay attention to what we're doing with it. To pay attention to each other. It was so easy to buy things and think that those things were making us happy or go on a trip, but no one paid attention to what was happening to us until it was too late. I kind of knew it was a problem. I did kind of bring it up, but it caused so much trouble that I stood back. And I said, well, what would you do differently that I would have lived smaller? Because then we would have noticed each other. We wouldn't have been hiding out in different parts of the house and not knowing what each other was doing. Maybe if we were closer, we would have paid attention to the kind of problems we were facing. But now it came to a head. Now we have police involved. We have the law involved. We have family members losing jobs. We don't know who's going to make it and who isn't. Everyone's addicted. So sometimes taking our advice, knowing when something's wrong, saying something is a fear of accountability, which was the third one Christ said. We have a fear of change. We have a fear of success. We have a fear of accountability. We have a fear of the loss of the comfort, because the discomfort of saying something is much bigger than the comfort. We have a fear of having to take the next step. So we use our advice in a weird way as a placeholder. We say, okay, we know we need to do it this way, and we know we need to do it one day. But I've learned to say, why not today? What's wrong with using your advice today? What's the worst thing that could happen other than it would invigorate you, that you can trust yourself enough to listen to yourself? I see Liam wrote in the chat, I even thought lately of Trump. People may not like this, but I feel people like him are actually the real puppets, because they spend their whole lives being ordered around by people who want from them because of his money, but they don't know they are being used. But the lack of love overlooks that. It's just a completely different mindset, Liam. It's money isn't good or bad. It's an energy. We put energy into it. Before money, there was gold and people traded. But a lot of times in the past, I mean, people were pretty self-sufficient and we weren't consumer-driven and we weren't consumer-orientated. We had all these stores, all these things to buy, all these things to have, all these things created that made us want more and more and more. And made the people who felt like they couldn't acquire that not as good as people who can. But all that is like kind of going away. The new money is health. The new money is time. People started fighting for that. So the energy we put toward the paper money that we do need to survive the way we've set up our world. But now people are saying, you know what, do I need that job? I'd rather have more time. Do I need that job? I'd rather not risk my health. Taking a look at things that give us quality of life, so that shift has already happened. People are starting to catch up to it, but that shift has already happened. I don't care how much of anything we have. I don't care how big a house or how small a house we live in. We all have to eat better because it's killing us. The new landscape of our world is health centers for a reason. And it's like we live in two realities right now, the old reality that's killing our bodies, and then this new reality of people who are discovering slowly that there's a better way to do this because this way hurt us. I feel like I want to say collateral. And, you know, finding good food, not eating anything but real food, gives you your health. Getting a job that probably pays you more, which everyone wants, with less time, will probably give you your health and give you time. And we're all trying to figure that out right now because our world is changing. Our value system is changing. And when I look at like what Trump is doing and all of that, we knew it would all settle down. We knew that it would be put in its place. And now we're not hearing such crazy stuff every day, even though it's every other day now or maybe every 3 days. But we have learned to trust. That we can trust ourselves and still be okay when we perceive chaos. Because we have no more control now than we did 6 months ago or a year ago when it comes to our government. But how we reacted to what we heard, that's again taking our own advice. Can I change anything in there now? Do I have the power other than my vote to make a difference right now? Do I have the time to give to that cause at this time? Can the world really change that fast? And then once the world got wind of what we have going on, there was almost an accommodation for the craziness that we were all facing and feeling. But yet, in all of that, we don't know, the jury's out, whether or not that's a great thing or not. Only time will tell us. But the other part of taking our own advice was no time to build new habits. That whole thing where the fear of change or success or accountability or loss of comfort or having to take the next step or using our advice as a placeholder for one day is that we're scared of like, oh my gosh, now I'm going to have to change everything. If I change this, then I have to change that, then I have to change that. And oh my God, I don't have the time to do that. Even dieting, people put off because the word dieting is something I would put off. But if you change that and said, I want to eat real food, then you got to go out and buy all this real food. And what do you do with the food you have? But it's all in stages. It all is in when you start. If you decide you want to deal with situations differently, then start today. If you normally lash out, don't talk. See what happens. You know that silence is golden. You know that silence will allow the other person to hear themselves too. But when we are emotionally involved is when we need ourselves most. When we are emotionally involved is when we need ourselves most. Power of listening to ourselves. We forget that we have a gut that has instinct and that knows better. And when we work in synchronicity with our gut and with what we're thinking, we start to trust that we can do even bigger things and bigger things and bigger things that we have in our plan, but we put off because we don't know how to get there. And how we get there is by trusting what we think enough to do what we know is best for us. And once we do it, we start seeing how much more we can do. I remember when I was in Hawaii and I was waiting in line to zip line. I was scared to death. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, it's only 10 o'clock in the morning. Usually by 10 o'clock in the morning, I've gone on my walk and I've done this and I've done that. But look at everything I did today and it's only 10 o'clock in the morning and I'm ready to fly in the air on this string that's set up between one side of this canyon to another. Wow, and it just invigorated me to think of it. And then I get up and I get on the plank and the guy tells me to jump and I can't jump. And they told me, don't hold on to the rope because you'll get like a rope burn on your hand. And he gave me the advice, but I was too scared to take it because I didn't trust the harness. But yet I'm on a plank and I can't turn around and go. I'm already hooked up, but I wanted to turn around and go. And they had to tell me to jump 3 times. One, because I've never jumped before. Two, I could not imagine jumping off a plank into mid-air. That just paralyzed me. But then I did it, and I held onto the rope, and I got rope burn. Exactly what they told me not to do, but I did not know how to jump without holding on to anything. And so I held on, and I'm thinking, why didn't they have like a leather rope so I wouldn't get that rug burn? But maybe the leather would tear or rip. Then I did it, and I couldn't believe it. The whole time I was like holding my breath till I got to the other side. I didn't even really get to enjoy it. I just did it. But then after that one, I said, okay, we're going to climb up and you're going to do another one, and this time tandem. So now me and my daughter were side by side. So now I'm the mom, and I get into mom mode, and I'm like, oh, you know, just drop yourself and don't hold on to the rope. And now I'm telling her everything they told me that I didn't listen to. But the second time I listened, and when they were going to strap us, and one of us, we were both hanging in the air, but one of us was going to be left hanging in the air, I was like, it's okay, she can go first, because I wanted to face that fear of hanging in the air. And once I did, I remember just standing there, hanging there, and they were undoing my daughter, and then my turn was coming up. And I looked down, and all I saw was the top of trees. And I thought, wow, I missed that the first time because I was too scared to look down, even though I was just as safe as I am now. And I faced that fear, which is what I say all the time, face your fear, face your fear. But it came in stages. I had to fly first. I had to do it, and I had to do it again right away, or I probably never would have done it again. And then I just never felt scared of doing that. And it's the same with our everyday lives. See you on Wednesday. Tomorrow's Relationship Wednesday. I'll see you then. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.